Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, all thanks and all praise be to you for the wonderful gift of your word. We thank you that you call us together, that we would be able to not only hear it, but to meditate on it, to believe it, and by your grace, to live it to your glory. Amen. Just want to highlight a couple of verses in each of our readings. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And then in Acts chapter 1, we hear Jesus again say, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're here today for the same reason we're here every Sunday, aren't we? I mean, we might have a different title to a sermon, or maybe it's a different sermon series, but we come here for the same reason. We come here to magnify the Lord, to bless the Lord because he blesses us. Now, today is a recommitment day concerning our Hearts Overflowing campaign, a recommitment to commit again, to do it again. How many of you have children? Grandchildren? How many of you have done this? You take those little kids and you swing them up over your head and then you catch them and you do it again and you catch them and you put them down and they say, do it again. I have three grandchildren, 4 years old, 2 years old, and 2 years old. It was easier to do when they were 8 months old. And we don't get to see them that often, one on the East Coast, one on the West. But they do remember, Grandpa, swing me. We do that once or twice, put them down, and they say, do it again. Now you have to understand that my grandchildren, their fathers are 6'5 and 6'8. These are not little children. But I love to do it again and again and again because I love these kids. And I do it until my shoulders ache and my back is sore and my heart cries out, dial 911. You know, when you think about it, ours is a God of do it again, isn't he? Our God does not get bored with routine. I often get bored with, I do like a routine in my life, but oftentimes I get bored with certain routines in life. But ours is this do it again, God. It happened again today when we were on our way here. We looked and we saw this beautiful sunrise. He did it again. Because he did that yesterday, and he did it the day before. Can you, in your mind, figure out how many sunrises the Lord has caused? Or how many daisies he's allowed to grow in the fields? Or how many apples appear on the tree in the fall? Or the seasons happen again and again. It's winter and spring and summer and fall again and again and again. And it happens right here today. Again, we hear the word of God. Again, we participate in the sacrament. Again, we hear God say, you are forgiven. And he doesn't get tired of it. And his heart cries out, I love you. God truly magnifies his gifts to us again and again and again. You know, God created all things. This is the love of God. The love of God is found in this, that God created the entire universe and he created us knowing what kind of problems we would cause him. I tell my 8th grade confirmation class the same thing. I tell them this, you know, when your parents were married and they were thinking about children, there were those who warned them. They're a lot of work. They often don't smell very good. They take a lot of time and they take a lot of money. But you know, your parents decided to have you even though they knew all of that. Why? Because they loved you even before you were born. Isn't that our God? Our God created us, even though he knew we were going to fall into sin, even though he knew the extreme he would have to go in order to rescue us from sin and from death and from hell. And then he magnified his love in that he took our flesh upon himself. He became our sacrifice on the cross. God shows his love for us in this, says St. Paul, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that for a moment. Let that sink in. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not that he said, I'll come down there when I think you're worthy. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on earth and see which of you are going to be worth dying for. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He magnified his love for us. Christianity is the only religion in which God comes down to us. Every other faith says you got to earn your way. You have to prove yourself. And so this Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the door. You see, this is why our hearts are overflowing. It's because we've got this love of Jesus. We've got this realization of what he has done for us and what he means to us. And our hearts are overflowing with the desire to share Jesus with people who don't know him like we do. And so Jesus has this earthly ministry. After living 30 years, he's got a 3-year ministry. He lives this perfect life for us. And then he culminates this ministry in his death for the sins of the world, in his resurrection to open heaven. And then we have this period, this 40-day period between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. And he meets with his disciples to prove to them that he is alive physically. And he meets with them to send them out. And so here we have the Great Commission, we call it, in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gathered them together in Galilee, and he said, go and make disciples of all people. Baptize them. Teach them everything that I've told you. And remember this, I'm with you always. So this is the Great Commission. This is the development of the church's mission. But did you hear Acts chapter 1? It's a little while later, and Jesus gathers them at the Mount of Olives, and he's about to ascend into heaven. And if you are about to leave someone, you are going to give them some really important words, are you not? And so he gives them instructions. He already gave them the Great Commission. He already told them to go and make disciples. Now he magnifies the mission. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you, he says, talking about the coming Pentecost. And you'll be my witnesses. Notice he didn't say there's a good chance you'll be my witnesses. Some of you are going to be my witnesses. No, you will be my witnesses. That's not a threat, that's a promise. And really what this is a recommissioning on Jesus' part. It's a recommitment for the disciples. What I told you in Matthew chapter 28, I tell you again today. How many of you raised teenagers? Okay. I was a teenager once. I was the older of 3 sons. My brothers were 6 and 7 years younger than me. And when we got to that age where my father thought that I was able to take care of things when he and mom were away, he'd leave the instructions on how to take care of his house and how to take care of his younger 2 children. And he'd make me repeat those instructions. The next time they would leave, he would give me instructions on how to take care of his house and his youngest 2 children, and he would make me repeat these. And the next time, we could do this all afternoon. It was a recommissioning for me. as someone with responsibility. Dearly loved by my father, but telling me to dearly love my brothers. It worked sometimes. But did you hear the emphasis at the end of this reading in Acts? And while they were, the disciples, while they're gazing into heaven, can you imagine that? Jesus said, I'm coming back. And I believe that they thought he was coming right back, like he just went to get his wallet or something. And they're gazing into heaven. And these two men in white say, why are you gazing into heaven? This Jesus that you saw go into heaven, he's going to come back in the same way you've seen him go. But you got to go. You got to go magnify the message. There's 12 of you, but we need to magnify the message. And that message is as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago. And we are the sent people. We are the commissioned and recommissioned people. And we come here every Sunday so we can go back out there with the message. And the beauty of our Lord is that he recommits himself to us. You know, he did that in baptism, didn't he? He called us by the power of his word in the water of baptism. And there he created in us this living faith in him, and he showered us with forgiveness. And he connected us to the mission. And when we were baptized, he said, you will be my witness. But it was also his promise to be with us always. And so every time we come here, every worship service is a recommissioning. We come here to be fed with word and sacrament, God magnifying his gifts. And we respond with our prayers and our praise and our thanksgiving, magnifying his name. And then we go and we live the difference that Jesus makes. That's been the reason for this congregation since what, 1837? Word and sacrament and sending again and again and again and again. Do you see the divine repetition? You know, I just came across a member of my congregation in the community. I haven't seen him in church in a while, and that must have been a while because he didn't recognize me. John, how you been? Haven't seen you. I'm doing okay, Pastor. Did you know you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? I said, well, that's good, John, but I missed you. Yeah, you know, I know Jesus is my Savior, and I don't have to do anything to go to heaven, which means I don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Did you know that, Pastor? Sure, John, I know that. John, are you trying to convince yourself, or are you trying to convince me? Because, John, I need what happens in church. I need to be re-energized. I need to be refocused. I need to be recommissioned. I need to be recommitted. And that's why we do this week after week. You know, Luther said he did it every day. When he got up in the morning, he made the sign of the cross, and he said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It reminded him of his baptism, the same symbol, the same words. He would go back to that day in remembrance. He did that to reaffirm his identity in Christ, to recommit himself to the Lord. And we do that, don't we? Every day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will. Did you notice what you just said? You will rejoice. To joy again. Every day. And that's what Hearts Overflowing is all about. To reposition this congregation for greater effectiveness in this building and in this community into the far corners of the world. Today is about recommitment. A recommitment to magnify God's grace. This is a gift from God. And there are people out there who need this gift. So through this campaign, we want to be better positioned to grow in God's grace, better positioned to magnify God's grace, better positioned to share God's grace. And so this recommitment isn't about a campaign. It isn't about a slogan. It isn't about one service or even one Sunday. Our recommitment happens every day, again and again and again. And it's going to happen again and again and again until we're called to those endless days of heaven, and how wonderful that's going to be, because without end, we will magnify the Lord together. Let's stand and pray, shall we? Lord, thank you for the privilege of hearing your word this day, and I thank you for the privilege of being with these wonderful, dynamic people. Pray that you would continue to bless and guard each one of their hearts as they live for you today, anticipating living with you forever. Amen.